Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm your host, Lisa Zimmer, and I am just absolutely thrilled to be here with you today. Well, hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities. This is Lisa Zimmer, and yes, although you hear me again, that was a bleed-through from another show, so we are live today. We are live with some really incredible information, and I'm really, really proud and pleased to have the guests that I have presented here today to show you and give you some information. We're going to start off the show today with a little bit of hope and a little bit of optimism for our future, which I know we all could use and we all need. We have our first guest today. His name is Ira Pastor, and he is the face of BioQuark. BioQuark is a regenerative and restorative research company that works on research for chronic degenerative diseases such as cancers, Alzheimer's, kidneys. We're going to talk to him about what they're doing on the cutting edge of research and knowledge for our health and for our future, which is really, really incredible stuff. He's got some incredible insights and research that they're doing as a group, and he's got some wonderful experts in his group. And then in the second half hour, I have several people chiming in. So it's going to be a busy second half hour, but it's going to be fun. So we're taking the first half hour with a very serious, more mindful approach with topic, and the second half hour with a more fun, lighthearted approach, even though the topics are equally as serious. We are going to be talking with O Magazine insiders, both Joshua Perez and Eileen Fruithandler are both life coaches. Joshua Perez is organizing an event in October. It's a releasing event. We're going to talk about him. And Eileen Fruithandler, she is a yoga and life coach specialist. She deals with trauma clients. She deals with clients who have PTSD, who have been traumatized. She also is a teacher from the school in Fort Lauderdale, Douglas High School, that was the victim of a mass shooting. So what Eileen has done, as our wonderful O Magazine insider that she is, she's an incredible, phenomenal woman. I actually got to meet her in the real time and travel with this lady. I love her to death. She's created an event. I believe it's going to be December 2nd, and it's going to be in conjunction with the Miami Dolphins, and it's a yoga event, and it is highlighted upon gun control. So it's bringing a lot of light into a very solemn situation, and kudos there, Eileen. You are just a light in this world. Thank you for your light. And we're also going to have a fun guest as well, my third guest for the half hour, and her name is Catherine Beatty. Catherine, I met through a group online, and ironically, I had thought she was with another group, but she just happens to be a really big fan of the O Magazine. I know, the irony of life, isn't it? So Catherine is a radio host. She's been a radio host for years. And she's just going to come on and chime in with us and chat a little bit with Joshua and with Eileen and myself about life changes, growth, and how we can move through them. So without further ado, let me bring my very, very timely and mindful guest here, Ira Pastor with BioQuark, and let's get into the innovative approaches and the research that his group is doing. Ira, welcome to Unlimited Realities. It is my pleasure to have you on our show. Thank you so much.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me. This is really exciting.
Great. I loved reading your research, and I watched so many YouTubes of information. You are just such a wealth of information. I'm so inspired by the work that BioQuark is doing in its regenerative and restorative research on chronic degenerative diseases. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what the inspiration behind creating this company, BioQuark, was? How did this come to be?
Well, it was really two things. One was the fact that I grew up in what many would think of as sort of your traditional pharmaceutical industry, which was a very interesting and dynamic place to be. But at the end of the day, I just had a problem that in an industry that generates pretty much close to $1 trillion now a year, and you know, we spend $7 trillion on healthcare around the world now, we were pretty much batting zero when it came to any of the chronic degenerative diseases that kill us, the Alzheimer's, the cancer, the Parkinson's, the congestive heart failure. We were very good at making treatments for stuff. But when it came to actually curing, the last cure that my industry ever created was the antibiotic, and that, you know, that was over 100 years ago now.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah. I took that and combined it with just a, you know, what I call sort of a healthy respect for the natural world and sort of all the superhuman capabilities of these other organisms that live here with us that, you know, get cancer and get, you know, their arms and legs chopped off and they don't die. They regenerate,
right.
They heal very differently than us. And so it was sort of a, let's put these two things together and see if we could do things a little differently this time around.
Boy, that's really thinking out of the box. That's really great. I love that. Now, in looking at nature as an inspiration for regeneration, and what are some of the elements or plants or animals that you were drawn to specifically study to gain insights?
Sure. So, I mean, there's really three different areas or sort of classes of organisms. One, obviously, that most people are more familiar with would be the amphibians and this amazing ability to replace lost or damaged body parts that are identical in their structure and function to the original one. So we think of the salamander or the newt that, you know, can have its spinal cord severed only to have it in a matter of weeks. They can do the same thing with limbs, whole eyeballs, and even fascinatingly enough, large segments of their brains can be, you know, chopped out only to regrow in perfect function. So, you know, that's one class. A little bit down from them, you have sort of the planarian, certain worms and other sea creatures that have this amazing skill for basically turning cancer into a harmless disease. So, you know, unlike us, which, you know, cancer sends 8 million of us to the grave every year still, there's people out there that get cancer and just deal with it differently. They like to turn tumors into normal, healthy tissues and go about their day. And then lastly, you have this, what I'll call sort of the superheroes or the superhuman capabilities. You know, you have some species on this planet that do not age and exhibit so-called negligible senescence. You have some that age in reverse, like the so-called immortal jellyfish. And then you have a couple that technically even die and are reborn. And so, you know, we as humans do not have these capabilities today. But the fact that they are on this planet, that, you know, they're sort of part of the same natural order that we are part of, they give us inspiration and clues that, you know, we should be looking elsewhere opposed to the little white pill that you might get from Rite Aid or CVS. That's not the approach that these organisms use.
Right. Now, in looking at the research to combat chronic diseases or cancers, or have you discovered any research in supporting restorative kidneys, per se? Say we have, you know, there's 10% of chronic kidney diseases in our world, and so many people are suffering with kidney disease. Is there something in your research that you have found that's inspiring to us in regard to preventing or restoring chronic kidney disease?
Yeah, we have spent the first, you know, few years of our existence, you know, a lot of times in models of chronic kidney disease. And the kidney is, you know, people, you know, when you line up the organs and you think, you know, the brain and the heart and so forth, and you come down the list to the kidney, you think, well, people say, oh, you have two kidneys and you can transplant and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, we still, you know, spend $60 billion a year on kidney transplants and dialysis. And between that and sort of your degeneration, there's not a lot of stuff to help out. So we have been very active in the area of the kidney on basically how not only do we regenerate the kidney, which is a complex three-dimensional organ. You know, it's not like your skin. It has structure and action in three dimensions and so forth, but also how we regenerate it when it's damaged. So we are that not only would we be able to regenerate kidney tissue that is being destroyed, but at the same time slow down those biologic transitions that lead you down to the state where your kidney is falling apart. And the most interesting thing, and I didn't know this before getting involved in the space, but when you talk to sort of the experts in sort of the world of organ transplants and so forth, you find out that, you know, your kidneys function really well for you, even when they're being destroyed. And it's not until sort of the very, very end stage of kidney damage where you actually need a transplant. So we're excited from the perspective of, look, if we can prevent you from going down that path and even reforming and remodeling your kidney so it, instead of 10% function, it has 60% of its original function, then we've won because we've stopped you from having to have a transplant or dialysis, which is pretty much the end of life for many people. It's, you know, end of life and of quality of life. So the kidney is a very exciting area for us. It may not be as sexy or as exciting as the heart or the brain, but it is a very important organ, and the loss of it is not just the end. You know, it damages many other of the critical systems in your body.
Right, right. So is there anything we can do to prevent now before we get to, like, say, have to see you guys? Like, is there something that we can do on a day-to-day level to fortify our kidneys, improve the health of our kidneys? The obvious, I mean, I know we should eliminate, you know, alcohol and all those wonderful toxins, but is there something you could offer us that maybe we don't know?
It's very interesting because, there are the obvious ones, and I think the areas that I like to point out is that sort of in this era where we're understanding more about our sort of our place in nature, we need to eat, drink, live, whatever place. And what I mean by that is everything that kills us, whether it's high blood sugar, you know, in terms of diabetes, or whether it's inflammation and heart disease, all of these things in the natural order of things benefit other species. You know, we're not cheetahs, as I like to point out. We don't need large amounts of blood sugar to chase after, you know, a gazelle. We are not snakes.
Right.
We don't need large amounts of inflammation as our infectious disease defense. We have an immune system. So all of this stuff that kills us benefits other species. We have to keep it in mind that we are not those species. So obviously things like keeping dietary sugar as low as possible, keeping inflammation low, large amounts of dairy and highly processed grains, things like that, are. And then second to that, and this, you know, this might seem like another obvious one, but we need in our daily lives to avoid what I always called, when I was in the pharmaceutical industry, the single magic bullet mindset. There is no single magic bullet that will ever help you with any disease or wellness condition. That is a model generated by the pharmaceutical industry. But at the end of the day, when you look out in nature, whether it's plants or amphibians or fish, none of them rely on, you know, 10 milligrams like X. That's not how they do their stuff. They've survived hundreds of millions of years, if not billions of years, much longer than we have, and get the same infections that we do. But they what we call combinatorial ways. They realize that, you know, if the tree outside my example, it could never take 10 milligrams of drug X because it would go extinct because that's not the way natural order works. So you need to start. Everyone needs to start thinking beyond sort of the single magic bullet approach. Vary your diet, vary your exercise routine. The body requires randomness. We are a species that thrives on it, and so doing sort of the same thing every day in the same order, no. We want to branch out from that approach and sort of get a little more sort of this randomness and sort of stresses in our body that we need to adapt to and adjust to, because that's what makes us robust and resilient, not the constant reliance on, you know, just taking that same pill every day for the next 40 years. very different approaches. So these are sort of two general
right.
topics that I keep coming back to.
Now, what is the focus that BioQuark is looking at today? Is there a segment that you're passionate in your research currently that's going on?
Yeah, I mean, the three major areas that we're most excited about are sort of the central nervous system overall, and that includes both the brain and the spinal cord. So we are very excited about how we can mimic in spinal cord injury and other forms of traumatic injury to the central nervous system, that repair that we see in the salamander, the newt, the ability to regrow spinal tissue, get rid of scar tissue, and create function again in paralyzed people or those that have been traumatic brain injury, war zone, things of this nature. We are excited about that, not just from the perspective of recovering function, but also the higher brain. Extremely important because I don't think there's too many people that are unaware that there is this amazing sort of, they call it the silver tsunami of Alzheimer's and dementia that is coming our way. And while people point out, well, heart disease and cancer still kill a lot more people, that may be true. But I don't think there's too many people out there that are unaware of the fact that if we do not deal with this issue of Alzheimer's and dementia that is headed our way in society, we have a big problem on our hands. So the regeneration
right.
of larger parts of the central nervous system is very important to us for both the spinal cord and the higher brain, because that tidal wave is coming and it needs to be addressed. And there's nothing on the short-term horizon for it. And when you see big drug companies like Pfizer and so forth sort of publicly announcing that they're just abandoning Alzheimer's research, we realize we have a big problem that we have to remain dedicated to. So we're very excited about that. And then, as I mentioned before about the cancer topic, we are very, sort of war on cancer has started a few years ago with some of these more smart drugs and these other approaches, cancer is still a major killer. And so we are very interested, once again, in looking at all the species who cancer, like we do, but like to change cancer as opposed to kill it, turn it back into normal breast tissue, normal colon tissue, normal lung tissue, and go about their day. And so this is another very important part of our research that we spent several years on already in finding out how we can use these same signals and the same natural apparatus that exists to basically train cells, tumors, to turn back into what they used to be with tissue at one point. So these are really two exciting areas for us. Third area, metabolism in the kidney, as I mentioned before. These are, we'd like to work on lots of things, but there's only, so
right.
broad we can go.
Okay. That's great. Now, when you were talking about the aging process and the silver tsunami, is that part of your Reanime program? Am I saying it right or am I saying it wrong? With brain death and the regenerative, when you're in a coma and you're trying to,
right.
So is that part of that?
That is if you sort of look at all possibilities along the CNS spectrum, Reanima is, it's the very far end. Reanima was set up specifically to focus on what is termed the severe disorders of consciousness. So everything from persistent vegetative state to coma to deep coma through death, taking advantage of not just the knowledge that regenerative medicine and not only the knowledge of all the species whose brains are destroyed and regrow, but at the same time sort of getting our feet wet into an area of research that, it may be somewhat unpalatable to folks, the area of living cadaver research has existed in the United States for over 30 years now in terms of studying the recently deceased, but studying them for a positive purpose. So how we can regenerate the central nervous system as opposed to what the model is currently being used for, which is more sort of pharmaceutical industry, sort of toxicology testing and things like that. So we see the entire spectrum of the brain as sort of falling into our responsibility. And it's just, it really is a major sort of unknown frontier where we sit today, just because it's sort of the least understood of all the body systems. and it is something that we
sure.
it is important, you know, to, let's say, be at all points on this spectrum, because yeah, Alzheimer's is important, so is Parkinson's, and so is ALS, and MS, and
right.
all sort of the related disorders. So it all falls within our responsibility. And excitingly and importantly enough, because we're not developing traditional drugs in the sense that, you know, you can't always use a drug for Alzheimer's disease for Parkinson's, in our specific platform of regeneration, it's the same platform. So we're excited that we'll be able to go much broader than, say, the traditional drug company.
So when there's regenerative areas within the brain, is this to say that there would be, like, new neural pathways created, or would it be more of, like, how does that show up? Does it show up physically for you, or does it show up as more of an awareness?
No, physical neuro and vascular regeneration in the central
gotcha.
Nervous system. So everything that goes on, you know, we make the analogy to sort of how we are you know, initially formed when our nervous system is developing inside our mother. You know, it starts, it's a
right.
very basic process. It takes 9 months to achieve. And what we are basically trying to do, there's a lot that goes on in the nervous system, right? It's not just about generating nerves. You need vasculature. You need an extracellular matrix. There's a lot that goes on into forming a functional nervous system. It is not just nerves. There's a lot of stuff there. And so
right.
our approach is, you know, people have tried for decades to just stimulate nerve growth. That's CNS 101. What we are looking at is sort of all the instructions that go into, you know, how the body says, you know what, a spinal cord goes here, and it is a certain length, and it is a certain width, and it stops growing, and it doesn't become the size of a watermelon, and so forth. So these are all what we'll call sort of the morphogenetic formation that we are involved in. And this is the big picture of, you know, what we're looking to do. That are, you know, a little more esoteric when it comes to the mind and thoughts. But I think this research will take us down both paths to answer a lot of things.
Okay, so basically we have hope in the research that you're doing for Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's disease, and kidneys. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, not even more.
I'm just saying, In regard to all of these illnesses, we've got Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's, we have cancers, we have kidney diseases, and all of these are accelerating in our society, accelerating death, unfortunately. But mm-hmm. in your company, in BioCorp, there's research being done and lots of awareness in regard to using more of natural sciences to create different options for longevity. But you've got these pieces that are coming in as, like, with chronic degenerative diseases, it's, you know, for years it's basically been the organ just continues to deteriorate. So you're looking at stopping the deterioration, like, midway. There's not necessarily a starting or end point with your research. Is that correct? You're just going in at any point and trying to alter the cell acceleration of a diseased organ. Is that correct?
Exactly. You hit it entirely right on the mark. Yes, we are so-called agnostic as far as whether we intervene early, mid, or late stage. We have something for every stage, technically. And that
wonderful. Now, do doctors consult with you, or can patients come in and consult with you? Who comes to see you?
you know, we talk to researchers in, you know, not just here in the U.S., but around the world. So we talk to clinicians in different regions of the world. You know, the U.S. is a great market, but there's a lot more going on around the world nowadays in Asia and the Middle East and Latin America. So we have to be a global organization today, especially when it comes to some of these tools. So we are active, you know, really understanding what the different regulatory environments are, what the different legislative rules are in terms of regenerative medicine. So we're, you know, very active with clinicians. You know, we talk to investors, we talk to, you know, patients do ring the bell quite a bit, but there's, you know, sort of a limited amount we can do nowadays in the United States. But we do have partners, and, you know, as I said, we are active in sort of getting things going in territories where, you know, instead of taking 10 years here, it might take only 5 years. So we have, you know, friends and partners in Thailand and the Middle East and India. And, you know, we're constantly realizing, and this isn't you know, the olden days where all the drug industry cared about was the United States and didn't really look at the rest of the world. We're trying to be active everywhere because regenerative medicine is sort of seen as the future to how we can deal with these things a little differently than we have for the last 100 years.
Right. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I'm just asking because I know I'm going to get these questions from people who are listening. So, you know, your research is phenomenal. Of course, everybody who knows anybody who is suffering is going to want to get a hold of you. So do they tell their doctor that they heard about this incredible group, or do they, like, go on your website, or, like, how could they access the information you have so that they or their loved one could benefit?
They can reach out to the website. They can contact physician and have their physicians contact us. They can contact me directly. We are completely open to talking about what we do and where we have the ability to make connections today in terms of, you know, if we can't help somebody today in the United States, but you know, they're in Asia. We have some partners in Asia right now that are licensing our technologies to do things there. So, you know, we'll find solutions for them. We're not a clinical company in-house, and we're more of the R&D group. So we will definitely make the connection for anyone that is interested in pursuing different avenues here.
Wonderful, wonderful. This is just phenomenal. Phenomenal insight, and I always love to know innovative pioneers because that's how change happens, and we are in such great dire need to have out-of-the-box thinkers and people who are innovative and unlimited in their approaches to science and medicine and energy and all these wonderful things. You use so many different elements, and I'm in looking through the website, I was impressed to see that you use also magnetic energy in increasing, you know, the energy of the physicality and within the body. And there's all these different modalities that you can use as alternative treatments in regard to researching improvements with disease and illness. And I just really salute and applaud you and your team for doing such incredible work that's so vastly needed. So I thank you, Ira, so much for being on Unlimited Realities. Can I ask you one last question before we have to go?
Sure, absolutely.
Is there something that we can do consciously as our human species race society here that we're a little ignorant of as a collective whole that we could be doing better, just an easy awareness or a mindfulness tip you could give us in your wisdom?
You know, one of the most important things when people ask you is, you know, I point to the, you know, so-called psychobiologic effects of our minds and the importance, and I get this question, aging a lot, but the importance of maintaining a childlike attitude towards the world around us. And, you know, I work with kids all the time and science fairs and things of this nature, and I see sort of the brilliance and the potential, you know, before, well before, you know, they hit the real world and the potential that might, you know, maintain that sort of degree of childish awe towards the universe and nature and sort of the miraculous world around us. And sort of try to maintain that as much as possible in life, because I think when we stop thinking like that and when we stop sort of being in awe of things, especially the cosmos, that's when we really fall apart. So I think everyone should just try to maintain that childlike attitude as much as possible throughout life.
Oh, I love that, Ira. Thank you so much. That's a great, great advice, and I will take that to heart. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for being on Unlimited Research. And please stay in touch with me on any new discoveries, research, or anything else you'd like to share, and you can come on and we can chat again, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Lisa. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you, Ira. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we are moving into our second half-hour show, which is going to be primarily of my O Magazine insiders, which are doing all such incredible things. Everybody's doing such great work. We're going to talk with my first friend, Joshua Perez. Joshua is a life coach. He's also created an event that we're going to talk about. I do believe it's a closed event, audience. You can't bash it. So we're going to talk about Joshua's event, because he's created an event that I really feel is something that's an understatement in our life that we all need to kind of reflect upon at some points, is when we're going through pivotal changes and we're going through life changes, because life moves quickly and you have to be sharp and stay on top of it. And to be sharp and stay on top of it, it's really difficult if you're being dragged down by the past, or you're being dragged down by heartbreak or pain or emotions or something that's hanging in there from the past. Well, Joshua's created this release event, and we're going to talk to Joshua about it. Then we're also going to talk to Eileen Fruit Handler, who is a yoga and life coach. She's a yoga teacher, and she has two studios, and she also is a life coach, and she deals with a lot of trauma clients who are in PTSD and struggling. And so she has a work that she is doing right now with the Miami Dolphins that is going to bring some awareness to gun control, as she's a very busy lady. She's also a teacher at God Bless Her Douglas High School in Fort Lauderdale. That was the mass murder site a few months ago. So we will talk with her. But without further ado, let me bring on my buddy Josh Perez and talk to him, and let's see what's going on with Josh. Joshua Perez with Feel Free to Grow. Thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Lisa. I'm great. How are you?
I am great. So let's talk. You are going through so many wonderful growths and changes, and you created this event. Let's talk a little bit about this event you've got coming up.
Sure. Well, first, Lisa, I want to say thank you for the way that you serve humanity, and thank you for creating this space for all of us and supporting the evolution that we're all going through. I enjoyed our conversation last time, and I always enjoy our personal conversations. You're one of those people that I feel like gets me, and you're always the perfect conversation.
Aww.
When you and I so. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
I do get you, Joshua. I do get you. I feel you. I do.
Yeah, yeah. And also,
I love you too,
you
Joshua.
And also, thank you for the honor of being on your show and just being willing to give me a space to serve. As you mentioned, I do have an event coming up. Registration is closed for that event. And so I'm certainly not here to sell that event or anything. I do have a spring retreat coming up in the spring of 2019, and There'll be more information about that on my website, feelfreetogrow.com, and on my Instagram in the future. But I would kind of like to talk about how the released retreat came about for a minute, if that's cool.
I would. That's exactly what I would love you to talk about, because releasing is so important. And I loved when you posted that you were creating this event, because, of course, you know, you and I tend to parallel a lot of times, I've noticed, in our pivotal changes. You tend to go through pivotal changes right around the same week I do. And so when I saw this pop up, I thought, oh, this is so beautiful. What a beautiful way of releasing and exchanging and moving into the next level. So please, please do tell us how this was birthed.
Sure. Well, as you know, from our private conversations, in the summer, I went through a breakup of an intimate relationship. And honestly, I had a lot of expectations for the relationship and a lot of hope in that relationship. And because of all of those expectations, when the relationship ended, I was devastated. I didn't see it coming. And, you know, so I was on a bit of an emotional roller coaster, as people typically are when a significant relationship comes to an end. And I do have a wonderful inner circle of friends and family. And I also stay connected to a couple of different therapists on a regular basis. But there was this one day where I was going through this breakup, and I had a conversation with my ex, and even though we had been broken up for a couple weeks, this conversation basically felt like a second breakup. It was a painful conversation to have, and as soon as I got off the phone, I reached out to my best friend. She wasn't available. I reached out to another close friend, no response. I reached out to my mom. She was busy. She didn't know what was going on, and so she just responded in text saying she was busy. So then I got more serious, and I reached out to my therapist. She had no openings. So I was in this place where I was trying to find outside assistance with my, you know, mini crisis. And I wasn't able to find support outside of myself. And for whatever reason, I'm sure it was the leading of the universe or my intuition, I decided to go out to nature. And, you know, I live in a beautiful part of the world in East Tennessee. And so I drove about 30 minutes east to Ocoee, Tennessee, beautiful mountains and rivers and lakes, and I decided to go paddleboarding. And just the being in nature was therapeutic in and of itself. But as I was out on the lake paddleboarding and looking around at the mountains that were standing up above me, in that moment I realized that was there for me. Life was supporting me, standing strong for me, steady, just like those mountains were standing there strong. And through that experience, I was able to, you know, let some things go, experience some healing on that day. And as is typical for me, I believe that a powerful part of our healing journey is turning around. It's usually like the last step in healing, in my opinion, is after you've gone through the crap, you've learned what you need to learn, you've let go of what you need to let go of, then you're able to turn around, look at the people who are coming behind you, and teach them and share with them what you've learned and how you got, you know, through the path that you had to go through, you know, taking what hurt you, but what also taught you things, and teaching those things to other people. So that's what I decided to do. I planned an event, a retreat, a very intimate gathering of only open the registration to 12 people. in a small cabin in the middle of nowhere, and I'm looking very, very forward to it. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds wonderful. You know, there's this healing that goes on in release that it's more of an experience that's felt than, you know, the awareness that the release is, because we all hear it. You know, we have to release that. We have to let go. We have to release. We have to let go. Well, you know, it's all great and dandy when it's words, but, you know, when that feeling of release comes in, it's very cathartic. And it's that piece that I always find nature as an extremely healing tool to open that wound or that vulnerability or that heart up and to be healed. Because, you know, there's a reason they call nature Mother Nature. It's a nurturer, you know, and yeah. And it really is this beautiful balm that we put on, you know, B-A-L-M, that we put on our wounds. And it's, you know, I think that if you want to encourage this type of an event, you will have a very, very big calling in regards to pulling people who want to release. Because if there's one thing I deal with every day, it's people who have to let go of something from their past. And, you know, as you know, as I know, it's much easier said than done. And to create ritual in a process like this is such a beautiful cathartic piece, and I love that you're doing this. So in your process of creating this event, have you felt a little bit more of a release for yourself?
Absolutely. There's a song that I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar to, but maybe some of them aren't, by Erykah Badu, called Bag Lady. And one of the lyrics in the song says, "One day all them bags are going to get in your way." And I've personally experienced that, and I'm sure everyone has. Things that, you know, we experienced earlier in life, maybe, you know, relationships failing, you know, people in our lives who are significant not keeping their promises or abandoning us or just being ugly. You know, especially younger in life, when we don't know how to handle those, we don't know how to process them. We don't process them. We ignore them. We stuff them down. We pretend like, you know, we get into a space of denial where we pretend like it didn't happen, or we pretend like it's not as big of a deal as it really was to us. And if you don't deal with it, if you don't allow yourself to feel it and process it and acknowledge what's happened to you, you'll never be able to let it go. In the book, The Untethered Soul, the author talks a lot about holding things in versus letting them go. And if you don't properly process your experiences, you carry them with you, just like in the song Bag Lady, and they end up getting in your way. They end up getting in your way in your relationships. They end up getting in your way by resurfacing in your career, in your aspirations. You end up holding yourself back because of, you know, the scars and the wounds and the doubts that you have. But especially in love relationships, you end up carrying these wounds from prior experiences, and then you end up bleeding all over this new lover who had nothing to do with the initial wound. And so a big part of the weekend is going to be focusing on very practical ways of experiencing the moment, experiencing your feelings, accepting them, not denying them. And then once you've been able to experience them and feel them, we'll go the step further on how to actually let those things go.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, where can the audience get in touch with you? Because I'm sure that you've perked some ears up here and they're going to want to know more. So, please tell the audience where they can get a hold of you. And I also have Catherine Beatty on the line, and I think she has a question for you as well. So I will let you tell the audience where everyone can get a hold of you, and then I'm going to bring Catherine Beatty on.
Sweet. Okay. So as far as how to reach out to me, if you go to my website, feelfreetogrow.com, that's feelfreetogrow.com. You can also connect with me on my Instagram, which is at feelfreetogrow. And I would love for people to reach out to me with feedback or questions. I have a very limited amount of availability as far as personal coaching goes, but you can also request to be added to my wait list for personal coaching. My book's on there. And like I said earlier, as soon as I'm able to nail down more of the details, I'll post more about my my spring retreat, which is probably going to be a beach retreat. So crazy excited about that.
Oh, awesome. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for that, Joshua. And audience, I'd like to introduce Catherine Beatty. She is a radio host for numerous years. And Catherine, thank you so much for coming on Unlimited Realities. I think you have a question for Joshua, do you?
I do. Hi, Joshua.
Hi, Catherine.
So nice to meet you. I actually, Lisa and I hooked up a few months ago, and we became instant friends because we're fellow Pisceans. But I've actually been, I know, there's a story behind that too. But anyway, I wanted to, it's kind of a question, but it's also a big fat kudos to you for recognizing that you needed to take a break and to find your spirit and recognize and accept things that have happened in your life. And not only did you do that, you decided to open a retreat so that other people can join you and they can take a break from whatever trauma is going on in their life. And if you gather enough people together, you can move mountains. And I really want to say a big fat congratulations. Because I myself, I won't go into it, but I have major PTSD. And the one thing that my psychologist emphasized to me for years was PTSD does not go away. It will never go away, but you need to find a way to compartmentalize it and live with it. And it can be done. So my question to you was, at what part of your own experience of taking a break and recognizing that you need to accept and move on, did you really decide that you want to bring people with you and embark on this journey?
Great question.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for the encouragement and the positive words. And it's an honor to connect with you today as well. You know, it is just a part of who I am. I'm a Scorpio. And I have recently been digging more into my birth chart and how the stars and the planets and the asteroids aligned when I was born. And I just believe that this is a significant part of who I am. I believe that we're all here to support humankind in the evolution of our souls individually, and also the planet as a whole and the human race. And it in a weird way, it turns me on. I love the idea of experiencing.
I like that.
I love the idea of experiencing something really crappy and changing the lighting on it, seeing the beauty in
evolving it. Evolving
it. Exactly. Seeing the good in it, seeing the light in it, because there's always good. One of my life mantras is, it's all good for me. It's always good.
Well, yeah, and funny you should say that, too, because some of my friends think I'm kind of, like, sick in the head when I I look at my trauma and the experiences I've had as blessings, you know,
in a
weird way. Yeah, I do, because my mantra personally is, better me than someone else, because I know I got this, you know. It's
I know,
that's my inner spirit, is that I know I got this, so so I thank Jesus that he gave me this gift of whatever I've gone through in my life, because I know I'll get through it. I just know I will. And I think some people that's embedded
that
in them.
I'm getting blessed. I'm getting blessed big is going to be your new mantra, Catherine. I'm getting blessed real big. That's going to be your new mantra.
Plus, we're all water signs.
All right.
The minute you said you
were
a Scorpio,
we're going to bring
Joshua
somebody else online. We're going to bring Eileen Fruit Handler on the line. And Eileen is both a yoga instructor. She has two studios, as well as a teacher, as well as a life coach. This lady's busy. So we are bringing Eileen Fruit Handler on, who is doing such an incredible event on December 2nd with the Miami Dolphins. Eileen Fruit Handler, thank you so much for coming on Unlimited Realities. Bless you in your work. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I am great. Now, I am so impressed by you just being you. However, now you've just outdone yourself and created this incredible event that encompasses both yoga, the Miami Dolphins, and gun control. Can you enlighten us upon this incredible event you've got going on?
Yes, I first want to thank you so much. And it was such a pleasure listening to all of your guests and ending them with talking about trauma and PTSD was a perfect segue into what I have started and become as a yoga teacher and trauma yoga. So I just want to say it's such an honor to talk to you. We are Oprah Magazine Insider Sisters, but after meeting in Alabama, I think we're soul sisters.
I do too, definitely.
It was an honor to be with you at Tora Stinson's honor of being nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, it's always an honor. It was so great to know you and then to know you in the flesh, you know, to see you in real time in person, because it just validates the energy. It validates the whole connection, you know. And you have, like, such a humanitarian soul and spirit. I'm just so impressed by what you've got going on here.
Oh, thank you. I really have to say, I don't know if it's me or if I am called to serve. You know, things come in my lap, and I've just been blessed that I can help other people. And I, you know, I love, like, Josh's raw and open energy of how he's going to help other people, because I do believe change comes from pain. And what happened was I had my own loss in my life, as you know, when my husband passed away. And I had to dig deep and find a way to just get up off the floor and found a yoga mat through friends. So that led me to becoming a yoga teacher. And my journey continued with the Connected Warriors, where I was trained to do trauma yoga, because it provides yoga for service members and vets at no cost. And we have many studios throughout the country that offer that through Connected Warriors. And then I started working with other groups. And I teach at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. And I was already working with the Miami Dolphins, talking about fundraising, maybe doing yoga, because they have their own wonderful cancer challenge. And then when the event happened, February 14th, we were talking about the yoga fundraiser and decided that it really should be for the Douglas either fund or, you know, the fund to end gun violence, and as well as Connected Warriors providing yoga for service members.
Wow.
So the Dolphins have generously offered their location, and we have actually evolved and changed our day from just having a yoga day to doing it on the day there is a game. And for Bills fans and Dolphins fans, it's Dolphins versus Bills on December 2nd, and I hope you and everyone listening can come. So we'll have a preview on the 2nd. Yeah, pregame yoga in the parking lot. And then afterwards, everybody will be able to go to the game because the ticket includes the fundraising as well as the game that day. So I've been dubbing it, tailgating with Yoga Gate. I think we're the first Yoga Gate.
I love it. Good job, marketing woman.
Isn't that great? So Yoga Gate will be December 2nd here in Miami, right before the
love
game.
Love it.
Yes.
Love
I
it.
I will on my website and on my Facebook, we will have the exact connection to getting the tickets. The Miami Dolphins are putting it up right now on Fevo.com, but there will be a specific, Fevo Ticketmaster to buy tickets. So that will be out very soon.
And what is your website?
Oh, my website is thirdeyeyogashala.com. And Eileen Fruit Handler or E. Fruit Handler on Instagram and Facebook.
Wonderful. Now, when you started to develop this event, did you know it was going to grow as big as it is?
No. I met with Todd Reinhart, who is with the Miami Dolphins. Shout out to thank Todd and his team. And they were talking to me about doing yoga, at the stadium or maybe even with the dancers, because the players don't have a specific yoga class. Players, I'm not even involved with them. They have all their own private training, and they have a training center, which is not, available to the public. So we found a way to involve the Dolphins and Connected Warriors and my studio to make this thing happen and grew to an event that I never thought would happen because they kept saying we can't do it on a game day. Well, when we decided it's okay to do it in the parking area where we can put down mats, we're going to have a stage, we're going to have a DJ, the video cameras, everything. So it'll be like a yoga studio, only surrounding us will be tailgaters, which I think is going to be even more fun. So yogis can come and do yoga, bring their football fans, partners, whoever, and they can be, doing their tailgating, and then we all are going into a game. And by the way, they have sectioned off an area in the stadium for us to be at the picnic area. They call it the Dolphins party area or picnic area. So we're going to have our own, amazing area once we go in for the game.
Oh, wonderful. How nice is that?
Yes. Yeah.
How many are you expecting to show up?
I think our max is going to be 200 people, 250, wow. 200, 250. Yeah, that would be the max. So tickets will sell out as soon as we have it up on the website this week. And, come and have fun and do yoga and go see a game. So it'll be great. And I think the most important thing here is that I want to mention the Parkland students and how hard they work. And I don't have to tell people, the negatives and, what they've been accused of. So I'm going to stay with the positive. And I think that they just want gun control and they want lawmakers not to change or cancel the Second Amendment, but they just want change and they want people to, register to vote. You can text change, the word change, to 97779, and then you'll start getting the information from March for Our Lives. And remember the forces that are even behind this, like George Clooney, Oprah matched George Clooney's donation, Steven Spielberg. I think that there's so much movement and support behind them, and some books have been written. So I know that this is going to be a big event and really help to affect the change that, we've been waiting for in this country.
Oh, that's incredible.
Cool?
God, that would be so cool. God bless us all that there would be a change to the gun amendment, because we're not asking for guns to be eliminated. We think that's probably not going to ever happen in this country. But we do ask that assault weapons not be in civilians' hands, among other considerations.
Exactly.
So I'm just... it's an assault weapon, for God's sake. It's wars. For God's sake, it's not to shoot an animal hunting.
Yeah, children's camp and suburbia.
Sorry,
I
had to get my piece in there.
I love it. Yeah.
Could I chime in real quick?
Oh, please do.
Well, I just quickly, you know, when this whole gun thing started and George Clooney and all these guys were trying to find a solution, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if there was a way that we could encourage people to turn in guns that were just sitting around the house, and they could turn in guns, and the Parkland kids and stuff, if we could turn in guns and people could get paid for the guns, the money could go towards college funds for the kids. The guns could be melted down and turned into a monument. I mean, that was my initial thought.
Right.
You know,
I love that.
Yeah, you know, you could turn, you give money cash, and they could do whatever they want. And anyway, that was my,
That's awesome.
You know, and it's still at the back of my mind.
We are running out of time. I just want to thank everybody for being my guest, Catherine Beatty, Joshua Perez, Eileen Fruit Handler, Ira Pastor. God bless all of you. Thank you for being on Unlimited Realities today. It has been a fantastic show. I love all of you. God bless you all, and have a fantastic week. Until next time, bye-bye.